Scripture reading for our meditation today is taken from the revelation given to St. John, the 7th chapter, beginning with verse 9. After these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, saying, "Salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb." All the angels stood around the throne, and the elders, and the four living creatures, and fell on their faces before the throne, and worshiped God, saying, "Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom, thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would strengthen our faith through them. Amen. There's an expression in the art world known as kitsch or kitschy. You've maybe heard it before. It's a German word. Webster's Dictionary has a definition for it. Something that appeals to a popular taste but is often of poor quality, a tacky quality or condition. So I remember one of my art professors at Minnesota State in town used to tell us, don't ever do a painting of a duck. It's too kitschy. And stay away from sunsets. They're too kitschy. It's interesting that when people have tried to depict a scene like we have in front of us, a scene of glory and a scene of heaven, it's kind of hard to do. It's a hard thing, a hard visual concept to get through in a painting or a sculpture or whatever. Now, there are many wonderful Christian works of art that depict the crucifixion of Christ very realistically, the birth of Christ, maybe some of the other events in Jesus' life or in the lives of the apostles. But when it comes to trying to do a picture or painting of heaven, and this beautiful band of believers standing now before God's throne in heaven, it's a very difficult thing to try to reproduce for us to see. And it often comes off as almost looking a little bit silly or contrived, and like my professor would have said, kind of kitsch. So why is that? Why is it so hard for us to try to imagine or envision or depict this glory that's being described for us of the saints in heaven? Well, the reason is we are so saturated with living in this fallen world where nothing is perfect, where people are sinful and wicked, and where there's just trouble and death and sadness and all of this all around us. We are so saturated in that type of a world that to try to even imagine what heaven must be like is just, it's hard for our minds to grasp. And the splendor and the perfection and the beauty and the glory of heaven is just hard for us to even try to come up with. And even Hollywood, when Hollywood tries to do a depiction somehow of heaven, it's usually in a comedy because it's just something that's almost impossible to depict. There is a sin-based gravity to the very limiting boundaries of our minds and our imaginations that cause the imagery and perfection that's described here, this heavenly glory, to appear so foreign to us. Use an illustration. Imagine a little child who is born inside of a trailer house, a trailer home, but there are no windows to look outside. And there's no doors to be able to go out. But the child's entire life as he or she grows up is just entirely contained in this trailer home. And there are some nice things in there, and there's some nice food to eat. And the child is brought up inside of this building, but never knows what it's like to go outside. And that child is now college age, let's say, has lived his entire life inside of this structure. And people on the outside of the walls are trying to yell through the walls to explain to the child inside how beautiful the mountains are in Colorado or the sunset and how beautiful the sky is and everything else. But this child is so limited by where they're living and where their whole experience has been so limited that they have no grasp, They have no point of reference to be able to try to comprehend what this must be like. When God comes to us through his sacred word and tries to describe to us the glories of heaven and what it's going to be like for us to get to live there among his saints in heaven, it's fun to listen to, but it's hard for us to even imagine. It's just so beyond the world that we know. We are so limited and bound by the limitations of living in this fallen world that we don't know what it's like to be a perfect person. We don't know what it's like to feel nothing but glory and bliss at all times. That's just something that is so far beyond us. And yet, our gracious God continually throughout Scripture says to us, those of us where he has worked faith in Christ in our hearts, this is what you have to look forward to. Something that is so magnificent, it's beyond what you can ever experience in this life. And when that faith in Christ was put into your heart by God to cause you to realize that you're a sinful person like all of us are and that we'd never get to heaven by ourselves, but that Jesus had to come into this world to do that for you by shedding his blood on the cross and dying for you, and when you come to recognize and know him as your Savior who's forgiven you all of your sins, and you put your confidence and trust in him alone to go to heaven, God says you have now been marked to be one of the individuals who will stand in this very assembly that is being described in the text before us. You know, if you could go back in the Old Testament days to the time of the great Exodus, the night of that final plague on the Egyptians when the firstborn was killed in each of the houses, God's angel was able, flying over the country, to distinguish the homes of God's faithful by the blood of the Lamb. And so it will be on Judgment Day. When that day finally comes, God's angel of destruction will come and bring wrath on the earth to all unbelievers who will be condemned and brought out of God's sight forever. And yet, those who have been marked with the blood of the Lamb, who have faith in their hearts in him, will be protected, and God will lead them to their new home. This text is interesting before us. It says, there is a great multitude which no one could number of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues standing before the throne of God. We get a little taste of that on our campus or when you go to church. One day I was sitting in church, my local congregation, and I knew a lot of the people. I've been a member there most of my life. And I just thought to me as I looked around, how many people within 30 feet of me, either they or their parents or grandparents, had come from a foreign country. And I counted up just within 30 feet of me about 35 different nations that were represented. What an amazing thing it will be on that final day when we come to heaven to see all of the people from around the world where the Holy Spirit worked faith in their hearts in their Savior, and they're now gathered together singing the same wonderful praise to our gracious God. Listen to what one commentator says. What glorious comfort this is for the soul struggling with sin and poverty and weariness. See, there is your home. All these who stand before the throne, they were just like you. It's only a few days ago that they were weak and sinful, sad and tired, tempted and afflicted. And now? Now they are sinless, perfect, happy and blessed, exalted and glorious. And so when we finally join this band of saints, all the mysteries of the faith will be revealed to us when we are finally in their presence. And what a joy it will be to be in that heavenly gathering. But for now, the just, God's people, the just shall live by faith. Amen. Please rise. Today we offer a prayer on behalf of Professor Mark DeGarmo. Professor DeGarmo is probably right now undergoing an angiogram procedure for some heart concerns. And let us come before God in prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, at your urging, we come before your throne of grace on behalf of your dear child and servant, Mark. Be with him during this procedure. Give wisdom and ability to his medical staff so that his condition can be properly diagnosed and he can be returned to full health with good treatment according to your will. Strengthen him and his wife, Becky, in their trust in you and in the gracious care that you provide for all of your saints. We commit him into that tender care. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, amen.